This is session number 21 of the Gospel according to John. We're in John chapter 3. Jesus Christ is dealing with Nicodemus, a man who's supposed to be a master of Israel. And Jesus Christ is schooling him in the new birth, teaching him the truth that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then explaining to him that you must be born of water and of the Spirit. And we looked at verse 6 last week, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So flesh gives birth to flesh. Only the Spirit of God can give birth to spirit. And so verse 7, Jesus Christ tells him, marvel not. Don't be amazed. Don't marvel at this. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now just perfect wording of the King James, marvel not that I said unto thee, thee. Whenever you see thee or thou, it's talking to one singular person. Marvel not that I said unto you, speaking to Nicodemus directly. But notice, he says, marvel not that I said unto thee. He doesn't say thou must be born again. He says ye must be born again. Because this new birth isn't just a necessity for Nicodemus. It's a necessity for all of his Pharisee buddies and for all of humanity. Ye. When he says ye or you, that's plural. It's not just one person, but it's a group of people. So marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Must, that's absolute. It's an absolute necessity. So it's important. And then in verse 8, Jesus Christ is going to kind of describe or illustrate the new birth. And he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. So Jesus Christ illustrates the move of the Spirit of God in bringing forth new births. This new birth of the Spirit, he illustrates it to like the wind. And he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Listeth, that's an old English word. It has to do with desire and choice. So the wind blows where it desires. It blows where it chooses. The wind chooses and goes where it wants to go. It's the concept. It goes where it wants to go. You can't control the wind. And he says, and thou hearest the sound thereof. So you can hear it. You can know if the wind's coming. But canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. He says, man, the wind's got a mind of its own. It goes where it wants. You can tell if it's coming. You can tell if it's here. You can tell if it's leaving. But you don't really know where it came from and where it's going. Sometimes you can tell the general direction of where it came from and the general direction of where it's heading, but you don't really know. You can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. That's the wind, right? Jesus Christ expects this man he's dealing with, that he's talking to have some familiarity with the wind. And then Jesus Christ says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What's he saying? He's saying when the Spirit of God wants to move, and the Spirit of God wants to bring forth new births, birth people, and wants to bring people to the point of where they're born again, wants to bring forth a new spirit. He goes, it goes, the Spirit goes where it wants to go, where it desires, where it chooses, where it deems is the right spot. That's where the Spirit's going to go. And that's where the Spirit's going to bring forth new births. And you can, man, you can tell, just like the wind, you know if it's there, you know if it's hitting you, you know if it's coming, you can hear it. And if you're spiritually discerning, you, man, you know the Spirit's moving. Look at Nicodemus even knew the Spirit was moving. That's why he came to Jesus. He said, no man can do these miracles thou doest except God be with him. The Spirit of God was at move. That Spirit of God moved through John the Baptist and was bringing multitudes to repentance. And that Spirit of God was moving mightily through Jesus Christ and bringing, changing lives and transforming people and healing people and bringing people into a new mindset and mission for their lives, where now they're disciples of Jesus Christ, and they're following him. Spirit's moving. And Nicodemus could tell. Many heard the sound thereof. But what he couldn't tell is he couldn't tell where it came from and where it was going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Verse 9, we see Nicodemus' confusion. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? How can these things be? And I don't think it's just confusion, although he's obviously confused, but I think it's genuine curiosity. You know, he obviously doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about. And so in verse 4, he's kind of joking around, sarcastic. But I think here he's getting a little more serious. And he's really curious. How can these things be? And Jesus is going to respond and rebuke Nicodemus. And then he's going to basically lay some groundwork that Nicodemus should understand. And then he's going to begin to point him toward one of the main keys that's going to involve this new birth. So Jesus answered, verse 10, and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? Knowest not these things? So evidently the concept of the new birth is not just a New Testament thing. And it's not, because if you go back to the book of Job, and you read Job, and you read what Elihu says, what Job and Elihu say, they're talking about the new birth way back then. And things of David, I mean, you go through that Old Testament, and this stuff is in there. And here's a ruler of the Jews, of the Pharisees. Jesus says, you're a master of Israel, and you don't know these things? It's amazing if you really start getting spiritual into the Word of God and into the things of God to really begin to understand the spiritual realm. You really start digging deep a little bit. And again, when I say deep, what we consider deep may not really be deep. God determines what's deep and what's not. But if you start digging and you start understanding some of these things, and then you start talking to supposed religious leaders or leaders of churches about some of these things, sometimes you might be a little surprised at the ignorance that men who are supposed to be men of God have towards these things. You might be a little shocked. I don't think Jesus is really shocked because he's Jesus. I think he's just kind of shaming Nicodemus here. Gently shaming him, mildly shaming him, but shaming him. Art thou a master of Israel? Knowest not these things. You know, you should know these things. You've been studying the scriptures your whole life. How come you're not aware of this? Because Nicodemus is completely confused about this stuff. So too, sometimes we have to mildly shame men who should know these things, but don't. And so Jesus continues in verse 11, says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Jesus Christ is saying, we speak. Now, the we could be referring to Jesus and his Father and the Holy Ghost. He could be referring to that as the we, the Godhead. Could also just be referring to we in terms of him and his disciples. Or the we could refer to him, his disciples, and maybe even John the Baptist and his disciples. But Jesus saying, verily, verily, I say, we speak that we do know. You know, the idea is you don't talk about things you don't know. You don't try to teach things you don't know. You don't testify about things that you haven't seen. Jesus Christ saying, all the stuff I'm teaching you, all the stuff we're telling you, we know this stuff. You should know it. You're supposed to be a master of Israel. You're supposed to be a religious ruler of the Jews. You're supposed to be a man of the scriptures. You've been to the seminary training and higher education training, but you don't seem to know these things, but we know them. Who's Jesus? Just a simple blue-collar carpenter. Who are his apostles? They're just average guys, fishermen, tax collectors, zealots. They're not professional religious people. They haven't been to the seminaries. And somehow, Jesus and the average guys, they know the spiritual things. And they're preaching it and they're teaching it. Remember, Nicodemus came to him and said, we know thou art a teacher come from God. Jesus had a reputation already of being an amazing teacher that could just open up things that those religious professional preachers and teachers didn't know anything about. And he says, we know what we're talking about. We testify, we've seen. Unfortunately, he says, and ye receive not our witness. He's talking to Nicodemus and his Pharisee buddies, saying, you guys don't receive our witness. Remember, light shines in the darkness comprehended it not. Nicodemus can't understand these things. As long as he stays part of that Pharisee crew, and he stays part of that Pharisee clique, and he stays within that comfortable Pharisee sphere, he'll never really get him. He might start to come to some level of truth, but he's going to have to step out of that thing if he really wants to get it. And so Jesus says in verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now that's pretty amazing, because Jesus Christ, he was talking about the new birth, which is a heavenly thing, but evidently he was bringing it to a level of earthly things. And he's saying, you don't even believe the earthly things we're telling you. How are you going to believe if I start opening up heavenly things to you? And there's some truth to that, eh? Maybe when you deal with these people, first start with some basic earthly truths. See if they can get those things. See if they believe those things. Because if they don't believe that, there's no way they're getting heavenly things. And remember, as Christians, our affections are supposed to be set on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Our minds, our hearts, our treasures, what we seek is supposed to be the things that are above. We're seated in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be seeking those things and loving those things and treasuring those things and understanding those things, heavenly things, not earthly things. But Jesus says, but if you don't believe the earthly, you can't believe the heavenly. See, because God originally made man earthy. He made him of the earth. Man is an earthy creature by nature. And so if man rejects earthly truth, there's no hope for him to receive heavenly truth. But if man wants to be promoted from just an earthly creature and become born again and enter into this heavenly kingdom, this kingdom of God, enter into this heavenly sphere, and begin to receive and understand and believe heavenly things, there's no hope for him to get to the heavenly if he won't even receive the earthly. And I'm not talking about carnal, corrupted, fleshy, you know, sinful earthly things. Although he has to acknowledge those things and see those things for what they are. But we're talking about believing earthly truth. Remember, God created the heaven and the earth. He didn't just create heaven. He created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was originally good. Now, much of it has been corrupted, but there's still a lot of good down here. And unless the earth and the earthly inhabitants are willing to receive the truth of the earth, there's no way they're getting the truth of heaven. Why? Because verse 13, he says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven. I love that. No man hath ascended up to heaven. Who do you think that lived on this earth, apart from the grace of God, apart from the salvation of Jesus Christ, apart from that, who on this earth do you think, based on his earthly achievements, based on his earthly accomplishments, who on this earth had the right to never die and just walk up into heaven and say, this is where I belong? Who? Which great leader of the past? Nelson Mandela? Robert Mugabe? Julius Caesar? Napoleon Bonaparte? Who? Joseph Stalin? You think Vladimir Lenin? How about Karl Marx? What about Charles Darwin? Who? Which one of those died, buried, and then rose again and then ascended up into heaven? and said, God, this is where I belong. Give me a seat up here. Who? Who are the greats that man worships? Abraham Lincoln? George Washington? Who? Siddhartha Gautama? Muhammad? Who? I want to know. You think Plato or Socrates or Aristotle? You think they ascended up into heaven and said, hey, God, give me a seat. This is where I belong. Jesus said, no man hath ascended up to heaven. Look at back in Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 11. Mankind, with all of its mind and all of its will and all of its heart and all of its purpose, before it was divided into many nations, when it was still just one people group with one language, and the DNA hadn't been nearly as corrupted as it is by today. Mankind already put all of his energy and efforts into ascending his way up into heaven at the Tower of Babel. They said, we'll build a tower that may reach to heaven. And God said they could do it. But God says, I'm not going to let them do it. So if they failed at Babel, if God overthrew their plans and divided and scattered the nations, and that was the best mankind could have ever been post-flood, then who since then do you think? If Nimrod couldn't do it, who do you think since then is going to be able to do that? No man hath ascended up to heaven, Jesus Christ said. So you know what? Nelson Mandela, Robert Mugabe, Julius Caesar, Napoleon Bonaparte, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Muhammad, Siddhartha Gautama, Confucius. Take the best of the best. You know where they are? They're dead and they're buried in the dirt. They haven't even gotten out of the dirt. They're under the earth. They're not even on top of the earth anymore, let alone ascended up into heaven. And where their souls are? Well, you'll find out one day soon. So Jesus Christ says, no man hath ascended up to heaven. You're an earthly being. You're trapped on this earth. And if you're not even getting earthly truth, you're never getting up into heaven. You're never getting heavenly truth. See, mankind needs some serious humbling. That's why in Luke, Jesus Christ said, except a man be converted as a little child and receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he'll never enter into it. Man, mankind needs serious humbling. Because mankind thinks himself to be something while he's walking around on the earth. But one day he'll be buried and be under the earth. The scripture talks about things that are in earth and things that are under the earth. And even the things in heaven. One day every knee is going to bow. And every tongue will confess and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So all those supposed greats are really a bunch of nobodies. Jesus Christ said, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. The only one who's ascended up to heaven is the one who came from heaven. And even while he was on the earth, he was still in heaven. You say, how is he in heaven if he's on the earth? He evidently was. I'm assuming in his spirit, because Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh, and the Word was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. So even while he was walking around on earth, he wasn't limited to that body that he was in. Now, I know he limited himself to certain points, to certain aspects, as part of this mission to save us. He did limit himself in some areas. But in other areas, he wasn't limited, and the Son of Man was in heaven. And then Jesus Christ is going to explain something very important. And this, what he's about to explain, is going to be so key to the new birth. This is one of the key mechanisms to this new birth in Jesus Christ. And this is going to be essential. And he's going to point to the fact that this new birth is going to be something that's going to be a result not of man's work, because we saw that in John 1. You can't make yourself be born again. This is a state of being. But this is actually going to be a work of God. This is going to be a work of the Father. This is going to be a work of the Son of Man, the one who came down from heaven, the one who's prophesied of in Daniel, the one who will take all the kingdoms of the world and will set up a kingdom that will be without end. It's going to be a work of him. And your only hope is faith in him, believing in him, not believing in yourself, not lifting up yourself, not trusting your own heart, but humbling yourself because you're of the earth and believing in the one who came from heaven. And he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so Jesus Christ is throwing an example of an Old Testament story to this master of Israel, Nicodemus. And he's given him a story that he knows, and he knows Nicodemus knows this. And he's throwing this story out there, and he's saying, just like that, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And he's going to explain how this thing's going to happen. It's very important. We need to understand this. But we're out of time for now. So next time we'll look, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that we can understand that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen and amen.